Today on The Journey.
Every man does battle in an arena, either the arena of the world, the arena of the flesh, or the arena of the devil. So we have these three battlefields, and we got to make sure we understand the terrain.
Having your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is a good start to the spiritual battle. Where you place your feet is your next concern. Today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin talk about the ground on which you fight and how it can affect your success or failure. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host for a discussion titled Battle Plan, The Three Terrains, on The Journey.
With me for this special series on men's issues is Tunch Ilkin. Tunch is a 14-year veteran of the National Football League, 13 of those years as an all-pro tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Tunch currently serves as a play-by-play analyst for the Steelers Radio Network.
Right, only I'm a color analyst. Bill Hillgrove's the play-by-play guy.
What's the difference?
Well, the play-by-play guy tells you what's happening. He tells you that Ben just ran for a touchdown. The color analyst tells you why he scored a touchdown. I thought you knew this. We did this in elementary stuff.
We've been doing this for a while. I still get it wrong. Okay. Okay.
So the other thing is, I wasn't a Pro Bowler for 13 straight years. All right. I went to a couple Pro Bowls. It's very nice, but you always make me sound better. What do you think people are going to? If he was a 13-time Pro Bowl.
Now I'm going to listen. Okay, color analyst.
Right.
For the Steelers Radio Network.
That's right. Which means I do the games on radio. It's fair, yeah. And just like you, I have a talk show during the Steelers season.
And it's exciting for me personally because Tunch is the pastor of men's ministry here at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh and just makes a tremendous impact in the lives of men, not only here at our church, but throughout Pittsburgh and really throughout the country. God has given you a great platform.
You know, I am very thankful to be involved in what God is doing, and my passion is to challenge and encourage men that we would all be the men that God has called us to be.
So, Tunch, it's a privilege to partner with you in these special programs. We've done a series called Biblical Manhood.
Right.
And we want to start this series today called Engaging in the Battle. Just a few weeks ago, we stood on Mount Carmel in Israel, and we were looking over this battlefield, this today beautiful field, Jezreel Valley.
Right.
And it's been written that the Jezreel Valley has been the spot of more bloody encounters than any spot on earth. You look at that field today and you see a strategic place in world history. And yet every person listening to this, their life is a strategic person in world history. The impact that every man is able to make on their family, places they work, their neighborhood, their community. We're in a battle.
Right. John Eldridge wrote in his book, Waking the Dead, that sometimes men will come to middle age and they'll wake up one morning and they have the sense of something is not right in my life. Something is just not right in my soul. And I think what they don't realize is, to Eldridge's quote, is that they are in a battle. Let's face it, there are a lot of people, a lot of men in this world that are going through life. And to be honest with you, before I gave my life to Christ, I was one of those guys that I didn't realize that there was a battle for my soul. There's a battle for my children, for my marriage, for my friends, for our community. Boy, I better be ready for that battle.
Well, if you don't realize you're in a battle, you're not going to win it.
Right. Good point by you.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to know that things are coming at you, and we're going to talk about those. Now, I want to read a quote from a book, The Military History of Ancient Israel. This is a great book by Richard Gabriel. He says, from the beginning of military history, perhaps no element of warfare has been of greater importance to the conduct of battle than terrain.
Yeah.
The ground that constitutes the tactical or strategic box within which armies have to fight. Napoleon even said, the history of any country is in its geography.
Right.
Gabriel says there's this tactical box in which men have to fight.
Right.
Now, you played football for 14 years, and you go into an arena, right?
Right, right.
So talk about the tactical or strategic boxes or arenas that you're preparing to do battle in.
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you asked that question, Rob, because every stadium is different. Now, today it's a little bit different. In our day, there was AstroTurf made for a very, very quick field. And Three River Stadium was like that. And the Steelers always had fast football teams. Defensively, the Steel Curtain was like that. The offensive linemen of the Pittsburgh Steelers were smaller and more mobile. They did a lot of pulling. And so they did a lot of movement. Now, you'd go to Oakland or Cleveland. They were grass with the old baseball infield in October, November, muddy and nasty. And you couldn't move. And so that would neutralize quicker teams. So based on what you knew of the stadium and the crowd noise and could you hear, and the way the terrain was would determine what kind of football shoes you would you wear, the longer cleats, the shorter cleats. And so you would have to prepare for that particular stadium, whether it's crowd noise, whether it's the situation with the grass, you had to be ready.
So you had to know what the battlefield was like, your strategic or right. tactical box, as Gabriel says. Now, right. you have your own personal battle
right.
going on.
Yeah.
So you're an offensive lineman.
Right.
And so you have some guys that are you're going to do battle with
right.
all day long. And now it's not just the field, it's the people in front of you.
Right, right. So I've got Reggie White, your basic genetic mutation, across from me, who runs like a deer and as big as a house. So I've got to take care of my little three-yard box. I've got to make sure that when we run the ball, that I keep my body between Reggie and the ball carrier. And when our quarterback drops back to pass, I've got to make sure that I've got this one area about 9 yards deep and 3 yards to the left or right that I cannot let Reggie White penetrate. Otherwise, it's going to be a long day for our quarterback.
Hmm. Okay, so let's bring that home. Every man mm-hmm. does battle in an arena, either the arena of the world, the arena of the flesh, or the arena of the devil.
Right.
So we have these three battlefields mm-hmm. that we're on. Within that, then, we have our own turf to protect. We have our own heart.
Right.
It's got to start there. We have our marriage. We have our family. We have our home. We want to stay as men of integrity in whatever we do. And so we're in this battlefield. Then we have our own smaller battle going
right.
on within us. And we've got to make sure we understand the terrain.
We've got to keep our eyes open. We have to be good at understanding, number one, what is at stake? Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And it is up to us as father, husband, friend, member of the church, member of the community to leave a legacy of godliness. To do that, we have to understand what is at stake.
Our intent for this series is that you understand the battlefield, you understand yourself, and you can live a life that truly leaves a legacy that honors God, first of all. I mean, that's the main thing. And when you do that, then all the dominoes fall into place. And so we want, through this series, to show you from Scripture that God is on your side, that He'll redeem the past, and He'll actually use the challenges of the past for your good.
God does redeem the darkness of the past. And there are certain people, because of their life experience, they have earned the right to minister to others mm-hmm. that are going through it.
So again, let's go back to the football analogy. Did you ever get beat? Did you ever let a Reggie White
yes, yes,
beat you and
yes,
sack the
absolutely,
quarterback?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you did your best?
Did my best.
And he just flat beat you.
That's right.
And what do you do the next play?
Look, my old head coach, Chuck Noll, used to say, it is no sin to get knocked down, but it is a sin to stay down. Now, that's not based out of the Scriptures, obviously, but there's truth to that. I mean, yeah. if you tank over a mistake and then you say, well, forget it, I can't do this, and then you fall deeper into sin, well, that's no way to live. We have a God that is a forgiving God. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the key is to learn from that mm-hmm. and to strive to not fall into that same situation.
So anyone listening, you've gotten beat and you're in a sinful situation, we're pleading with you, don't stay there. Pick yourself up by God's grace. Return to Him. As Tunch said, 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you can get up and you can rebuild what sin has torn down by God's grace.
By God's grace. And be there to counsel others.
Okay, let's look at, as Gabriel says, these strategic or tactical boxes that we fight in the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me read 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. And again, if you're listening and you're at a place where you have your Bible, read this with us. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. John says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Let's think through these passages. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Boy, that's challenging.
That is challenging. Because we are constantly bombarded with several messages from the world. And the world is a very seductive place. Mm-hmm. And whether it's materialism, whether it is the lust of the eyes, whether it is the boastful pride of life, we are hammered with that. And I always bust you because you did this one sermon on, he goes, there are a lot of people today, it's Sunday morning, they're out having brunch, they're reading the Sunday paper, then they're going out to play golf. And I was going, he's making that sound way too good. But it's true, you know, and whether we ignore God or we forget about God or we run from God, we start falling into this rut and allow the culture to dictate what we want to be and what we want to do.
When God saves us, He redeems us, He transforms us, but He doesn't make us perfect. And so there are still those cravings of the flesh.
Right.
You know, if they're not tempting, they're not temptations.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's why it's attractive.
Was that profound?
Yeah, but you know what? I was a little confused about this whole thing, but now that you've just made it
so simple. That's what we're here to do on the journey. We want to make things simple. Put things on the low shelf. Okay, so temptations are tempting. We've got that settled. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eye. Yeah. And we'll get into the flesh in this series. Man, that doesn't stop, does it?
No. And I don't want to be seduced by the things of the world. Let's just set aside lust, the whole sex thing, for a moment. Just the nicer house. Everyone's got their thing. You may not want the nice house. I may want the nice house. I may want the toys, the boat. I just saw a picture of a friend of mine's house on the Chesapeake Bay, and it had this big, beautiful house with a dock, and they had wave runners, and they had a nice boat. And I'm like, well, you know, it's easy to get pulled into that. And not that there's anything wrong with those things. If you have that, and great, you know, as long as it doesn't interfere with your relationship with God.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there are people that have all that stuff, and they're unaffected by it. But it's easy to be sucked into that.
I just left a meeting with a family whose husband and dad passed away. I said, tell me about your dad. And the daughter said, he was satisfied with the simple things of life.
Beautiful.
And I heard that. I was almost envious, you know?
Right.
Just to be satisfied with the simple things, like, because the world says there's something bigger, better, faster.
Right.
And when you're of that mindset, let's face it, it looks good. Cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eye, and the boasting. Now, men don't have any issue with this, right?
No.
The boasting.
I don't have that problem.
The boasting of what he has and does.
Yeah.
Tunch
Ilkin,
the football player.
Right. And it really went through this transition when I left the game, because you're not that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And for so many years, that was my identity. And I share that story where I was doing an autograph session. I was just getting ready to leave, and a young lady didn't get my autographs. A 12-year-old, she came running up to me, sir, could I have your autograph? And I said, sure, honey. And she said, did you used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I said, yes, I did. She said, who did you used to be? And I went, okay. A lot of times what you did, I don't want it to define me, but if I allow it, it can be how I define myself.
So we bust on each other
all
a lot
the time
to make sure that we
stay humble.
That's not a problem. But I will tell this story. So we're in Israel, and we're at the Mount of Temptation.
Yes, we were.
And a guy on our tour saw someone there from Israel, and this person asked, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Pittsburgh." And she said, "I love the Pittsburgh Steelers." And the guy said, "Well, it just so happens we have a Steeler on the bus with us." And those two girls from yeah. the 20s, they ran over and they met you. And when I saw that you were taking a picture, I about broke my neck getting out of the bus to take the picture.
Yes.
Because I could not let you live that down.
I got killed.
But it's what you did.
Right.
And no doubt, Tunch, that had to be a challenge for you to keep that in perspective that God gave that to you,
right.
just like it is with the successful business
right.
person or the successful educator or the successful doctor. Now, pastors wouldn't have any issue with that.
No, you guys, I could tell. we're not going to let you get away with it either.
Or if we do, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
We forget that it's God who gives us even the opportunity to do this.
Right,
things.
Right. If I realize that it is all God, that it is by His grace. Because guys that were so much bigger, stronger, faster, and more gifted didn't make it. And so that's a constant reminder that it is a gift from God.
The world and its desires pass away. Man, isn't that true?
Yeah, amen. That's right. We're here for a short time. Look, you and I got to be 56. We both are right now.
Yep.
And it happened quick.
Just like that.
Quick.
Right. So you get that thing you have dreamed of.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's not new anymore,
right.
and there's something else that looks better now.
Right.
It's the newer model. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The man who stays
right.
focused on God, the man who keeps his trust on Him, that's truly life,
yeah.
as Paul says.
I love what Paul said in Philippians 1. He says, "I've learned to be content in all things, in want and in plenty." And that's the prayer I want for myself. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. Whatever God has for me, I want to be content in that.
Paul's always real, isn't he? Paul didn't say, "I was born content."
Right. Yeah,
he
that's
says,
right.
I've learned
right.
to be content. All right. So we're going to unpack that as we go through this, the terrain of the world. Let's look at another battlefield that
right.
we have, the terrain of the flesh. You have a passage there in Galatians.
Yeah. In Galatians 5:16-18 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." So it's kind of interesting here, the way he points out that living by the Spirit is the key here. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery." And it's very, very interesting the way those three things seem to always be together.
Paul goes on, "Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." If you're going to give yourself to the flesh like that, you're going to get beat. You're going
right.
to fall in certain areas.
Right.
But if those things become the habit of your life,
right.
then it's evidence that you're not turning your life over to Christ.
Yeah, and I got to realize that I can pull myself into this. You and I were talking about this off air, that sometimes you have counseled guys and I have counseled guys who initially thought that their flirtation was harmless.
Right.
Just, you know, I'm not really going to get involved with this woman. I'm just kind of flirting. And and sometimes I think a mistake that men can make is they feel that they can get close to the fire without getting burnt. And we know that that is a lie. And so these things that seem attractive, the lust of the flesh, these sinful desires, if we entertain them, we're setting ourselves up for a big fall, because it's seduction for a reason. It pulls you in slowly. And then the next thing you know, you're in it and you're in trouble.
Tunch, it's so easy to rationalize, not into pornography, but I'll check this site
right.
or I'll check this page, or maybe it's Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition or whatever,
right.
but it's not pornography. And I mean, you can hardly even turn on your phone without seeing some of that stuff.
Right.
So this is a constant battle. And if we don't realize it's a battle, or if we don't engage in it,
right.
it sucks us deeper and deeper until we're sucked in.
Yeah. You know, we always talk about that verse in Job, "I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a woman with lust." It's a great reminder that it is a constant battle. You know, we talk about bouncing the eyes. We talk about taking control of our thoughts. We talk about what we make ourselves available to, and it never ends.
So we have talked about the terrain of the world.
Right.
We've talked about the terrain of the flesh. Let's wrap this up. There's one more battlefield.
Yeah.
It's the terrain of Satan.
Yeah.
It's the terrain of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms."
Yeah.
Touch, I'm not sure I understand all that sometimes. What's going on out there
right.
in the spiritual forces? I get the world. I see that right in
That's
front
easy.
Of me. That's tangible.
Yeah.
I know I am a sinner through and through. So I know what's coming from the outside in, and I know what's inside out.
Right.
Man, that's one we got to realize. Satan is alive and well. He doesn't know everything.
No.
But he is a student of human nature.
Yeah, and Satan cannot discredit God, but he can discredit God's people. And so he's looking to destroy marriages, especially Christian marriages. Mm-hmm. He's looking to destroy pastors. You better be on your guard, boy. That's why I'm watching you, man. He is looking people that stand up for Christ that are very vocal because people watch. And when a Christian leader falls, those on the other side go, "See, look, I knew it wasn't real.
Been a joke all along."
That's right. We know that he is like a roaring lion prowling around. We know that he is the liar and the father of lies. We know that he's a murderer. We know that he sometimes masquerades as an angel of light. We know all these things. It shouldn't be a surprise. And we also know there's spiritual battle. The word is very clear about that. So we need to make sure that we're prayed up and living in the spirit.
You have to know who your enemy is.
Right.
I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, and there's some great stories. I always think of this one, David. He's getting ready to do battle, and he always inquires of the Lord God, "You're going to give me victory, because I ain't going unless you're going to give me victory." And one time, God says, "Wait here at the spot, and when you hear the rustling in the top of the trees, then go."
Right.
And it's God's angels. And by the time David gets there, there's no fight to be fought. They go against each other.
Right.
The terrain of the world, the terrain of the flesh, the terrain of the devil. Military people say the battles are won or lost in the terrain. It's the mountain terrain, in the forests, or on even ground.
Right.
And as men, we have these battles going on around us, and we need to know what tactical box we're in. Are we in the box of the world, and what's that look like, and how are we going to fight there? What shoes you're going to wear? What spikes you're going to put on? You got to stand your ground. If it's the battle of the flesh, I got to know, that's a battle. How am I going to stand up to that?
Right.
If it's a battle of the train of the devil, I got to know who he is.
Right.
Because if I don't know my enemy, I don't know how to fight against my enemy.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you joining us here on the journey, and we're going to be unpacking these terrains of the world, the flesh, and the devil as we help men engage in the battle.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunj return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
We've got to discipline our minds. There's some things we got to know we're going to do or we're not going to do when the situation comes up. Mentally prepared.
You know, I always tell guys this. If there is a voluptuous secretary who does not dress very modestly in your office, then you got to stay away from her as much as you can. If you don't have safeguards on your computer, you are opening yourself up. You know, if you really want to be a guy that can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians, then I have to condition myself to stay away from certain areas. Just like if I'm an alcoholic, I'm not walking into a bar. if I'm struggling with pornography, I want to make sure that I have the safeguards on my computer. So there is a discipline of purity. Put myself in a position where I don't corrupt my mind and my heart and my soul.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.